So, the way ransomware works is a cyber criminal infects a computer with malicious software, and then they lock all of the data so that it's completely unreadable. And then the only way to get the data back is to pay the criminal a ransom, usually in Bitcoin. So that's at its core how the attack works. And ransomware has actually been around for many years. And at first, they just targeted people randomly. They'd lock computers and but what they found is that it's a lot more attractive financially to target a city or a company with ransomware as opposed to just a random person on the internet.
Yeah, but does this work? I mean, do they get their money?
Oh, it absolutely works. If it didn't work, they wouldn't be doing it, right? So, the way cyber criminals operate is they're not particularly creative. They find a formula that works and they stick with it. So, ransomware started around a decade ago, and we see more and more of it. It continues to happen because it continues to work. And fundamentally, the problem is that people operate computer networks that are not fully secure, and what happens is the attackers will scan many computers' networks across thousands and thousands of companies, and then they eventually find some that are vulnerable. And what's interesting is they often don't even attack everyone that they find is vulnerable. Instead, they get in, look around, and figure out if this is likely a target that would be willing to pay. And so when they hit a target like that, like a municipal government or a pipeline operator, then they know that that's where they want to focus their efforts to make the attack work the most.
Right, because these are systems that can't afford to be offline for very long, right? So they'll just
Exactly, yeah.
pay.
So, I mean, there's a few reasons why we're seeing the types of victims we're seeing. So, at first, we saw a lot of ransomware targeting hospitals because that's another area in which attacks really matter because people need to be able to have these critical services. And we've instead seen a shift more recently to cities because they have services that need to be available, but also they're running older IT infrastructure and it's often has greater vulnerabilities as an easier target. And the third piece of the recipe there, why it's such an attractive target, is because most cities have insurance policies that will help pay the ransom and the overall costs of the ransomware incident.
Man, that's wild. I guess I always just thought that'll never work. You're gonna get caught. Do they get caught?
Well, that's the thing. The thing about cybercrime is that the attacker doesn't have to be in the same place, right? They can be across the world. And if you're in a different country, actually tracking down that criminal and arresting them can be very expensive and hard to do. And so, in many cases, these criminal actors can operate with impunity effectively because there's no likelihood that they're going to be arrested. Occasionally, we do see gangs get arrested, but it's pretty rare, and they can often operate for years before they get tracked down.
All right, so is that why they want Bitcoin? Because that's harder to track as well?
Exactly. So one reason why ransomware has proliferated so much is because Bitcoin is now a way to monetize the payments. So before you had cryptocurrencies, it was much harder to extort someone for ransom over the internet. You couldn't just take their credit card information, or if you did, that could always be reversed. The thing about Bitcoin is that every transaction is irreversible, and so once you've paid it, there's no way to get it back. And it's also much harder to track back to an identity than, say, a bank transfer.
Sorry, I don't know that much about
Okay.
Bitcoin, but
Yeah.
what can you actually buy with Bitcoin now? What are they doing with that, those
So
funds?
Bitcoin has been around since 2009, and it was created as this with this vision of an alternative money supply, and people would buy and sell things instead of paying for dollars. But in practice, how is Bitcoin really used today? It's used to speculate on the financial value of it, so people buy Bitcoin thinking the price will go up. And then secondly, it's used by cyber criminals to do things like extort people with ransomware. people aren't actually using Bitcoin to buy and sell goods. There are a few places where you can do it, but that's the vast minority of what people are actually using with these currencies.
So should Bitcoin exist? What's the upside?
Well, that's a good question, right? So there is some potential for cryptocurrencies. You know, they, we pay a lot every time we swipe our credit card. We pay a couple of percent to the credit card networks and banks, which is not great. And so I think the potential of a cryptocurrency could introduce competition for lower fees. That I think that's all very positive. I think a lot of the reality has been a little less good, because what we've seen instead is that the system gets abused by criminals, and it's an entirely unregulated market, and people are putting lots of money in there, and that right now they're seeing the price go up, but when the price goes down, we're going to see a lot of bad things happen.
Right.
That's probably a whole different interview.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing. So, and there's all these new ones now, like the Dogecoin.
Dogecoin, yes. Okay, yeah. But, you know, Dogecoin actually has been around for many years. It's sort of was created as a joke, and then the price sort of would go up periodically, because people on the internet would decide, hey, we're going to buy Dogecoin, and the price would go up, and then the fad passes and it goes down again. And some of the research I've done in my group, we've actually looked at thousands of cryptocurrencies, because there are thousands of them, and there are groups that will pump and dump these coins in order to drive up prices. And they're very brazen about it. You join the right Telegram or Discord group, and you can see them coordinating, trying to bid up prices. The whole marketplace for cryptocurrencies is such an unregulated morass right now. I would not encourage anyone to put any money they don't want to lose in it.
Okay. So back to the city, is there any, and so the way that they could have prevented this is to have a better IT infrastructure, but maybe that's...
Well, so, I mean, I think you can't prevent all cyber attacks, right? So you just have to try to manage it as you would any other risk that a city's going to face. And so the way to deal with ransomware and to try to prevent it from you from becoming the next victim is, yes, to invest in the cybersecurity of your IT infrastructure. There are certain things you can do to make yourself less likely to be hit by ransomware. You can invest in solid backups. You can ensure that the software that you're running is up to date, which as a consumer, it's maybe a little easier. We just, you know, click the button on our phone and it will update our operating system. You know, the IT systems on a city or a company are more complicated than that, so that you have to have a process that will manage the updates and apply them appropriately, and that's hard to get right, but it takes effort and investment. One thing that's, I think, positive potentially that we're seeing with the what appears to be the city's ransomware incident and also the pipeline incident is that the systems that have been taken offline, they're saying it's been done as a precaution. So previously, when cities are hit with ransomware, often it infects all of their computer systems and things go offline for weeks or even months. And so what appears to have happened here is the attackers got a foothold somewhere in the network, affected some part of their systems. It was detected, and then other systems were shut down as a precaution to try to prevent the spread to those systems. And so it's causing us some near-term pain now because we can't access those systems, but hopefully they'll get a control over the infection, eradicate it, and then bring the systems back online, and the damage will have been somewhat limited.
Okay, so by eradicate it, do you mean pay?
That's a good question. So if you want to get the data back, then paying is the only way to do it. Now, it's an open question whether or not you should pay. It kind of depends upon the value of the data that has been encrypted. And so if you have good backup systems, then you don't need to pay, right? You can just take systems offline, determine how the attacker got in, so you can fix, you know, update your software, do whatever you need to, then bring your systems back up online and don't pay. It's in the cases where attackers really get in and have compromised many systems that the cost benefit shifts to thinking about maybe paying the ransom. But the real challenge, I think, with that is that even when it makes sense for a single city or a single organization to pay the ransom, we know that overall it's bad for society because this just encourages the criminals to target the next city. And we've seen the prices that ransomware is charging rise from, it used to be just a few thousand dollars just 5 or 6 years ago, to $100,000 a couple of years ago, to the last statistic I saw was for 2020, it was $300,000 was the average ransom that was paid. And we're seeing this skyrocketing in ransomware is being paid because the victims are paying. And so they can keep asking for more. And there are insurance policies that are helping defray the costs. And we just see this escalation that ultimately is bad for society because the attackers are going to keep doing it until we stop paying.
Right. So, and as we stop that by having better backups and...
Well, so one thing you could do is limit the scope of the pain of experiencing ransomware. Fundamentally, it's a coordination problem, right? So we need either norms or laws in place that are going to actually either prohibit the paying of ransom or actively discourage the paying of ransom. And so if you can make it to where it's far less likely that you're going to pay the ransom, then suddenly... the people who are cyber criminals are going to find something else to do with their time. But as long as we are paying, it's like shooting fish in a barrel. They're going to keep doing it until it doesn't work anymore.
Okay. And just to clarify, so they're not particularly interested in personal information. They just want the money from the city.
Yes. So ransomware typically is profit motivated. They found a way to make money. Now, historically, ransomware would just encrypt data and then not decrypt it and make it readable again unless you pay the ransom. But what we have seen over the past year or two are these gangs who will sometimes threaten to disclose personal information, right? So maybe they've obtained personal information and encrypted it, and then they will threaten to disclose it to the world unless the ransom is paid. And we have no details in this case what they're saying to the city of Tulsa at this point. So, but essentially they have found ways, any way in which they can make it more likely that you'll want to pay, they'll do.
Right. Okay. I think that's good. Do you have any other thing to add?
Let's see. I think, yeah. I think we have way more than enough to cover what you need, hopefully.
Well, normally our stories are like a minute 30.
Exactly, yeah.